hearts as we come to his word just now. Jonah chapter 2, let's read this chapter together. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, the depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet as thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee in thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Amen. And may the Lord be pleased to add a blessing to the reading of his word. It's that little phrase that we find at the end of verse number 9 that we want to consider as we come to his word this evening, where Jonah says, salvation is of the Lord. We want to very simply tonight look at the subject of God's full salvation. Before we come to his word, can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us tonight. We rejoice, O Lord, for thy goodness and thy mercy toward us. We thank the Lord for thy good hand that was upon us there a few weeks ago as we were in Spain, and for watching over us, for protecting us, for keeping us safe. We thank the Lord as well for thy speaking voice. We thank the Lord for thy word. And we just ask, O God, that again as we come around the word of God this evening, that you would be pleased to speak to us. We ask, O God, tonight for any in this meeting who are still strangers to God and to his grace and mercy. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight they might be able to exclaim, even as Jonah did, that salvation is of the Lord. May it not only roll off their lips, but Lord, we pray from the very depths of their heart that they will be able to experience and know God's full salvation. So Lord, speak tonight, we pray. Take thy word. Take the stumbling words of man, we pray, and let every word of man fall to the ground and be forgotten, but let every word from God be hidden deep within our hearts. So hear and answer prayer. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Jonah chapter 2 is the chapter when the runaway prophet is brought to the lowest point in his life. He's been thrown out of the ship that was taking him away from the will of God and from the work of God, taking him there to Tarshish. And when God in his divine plan for Jonah's life allowed him to be in the midst of that fierce storm that we read about in Jonah chapter 1, and then being cast over the side of the ship and being thrown into the raging seas of the Mediterranean, it must have been a fearful and a frightening experience for Jonah. But God was not finished with this man, because while God had to bring Jonah to a very low point in his life, he did it for a purpose and he did it for a reason. Because as he was taken by the sailors and thrown into the sea as a type of sacrifice to appease the wrath and the rage of an angry God, yet God had prepared a rescue boat for Jonah. And that rescue boat was one of his own creatures, the great fish that God had prepared. As Jonah was brought down into the belly of that fish to the lowest point in his life, both actually and spiritually, it was there in the fish's belly in the depths of the sea that Jonah really began to cry like never before unto God. It was here that Jonah was broken. It was here that Jonah was battered. And it was here that Jonah was blessed. And you see, often that's the pathway that God asks to take us. When we try to run from God, We try to run away from God, and we try to get ourselves away from the influence of God and the influence of His Word, yet the Lord has to bring us low in order to lift us up. And it was there that Jonah reached rock bottom. It was there that where Jonah was in the depths of despair and hopelessness that God caused him to turn to Himself in repentance, in humility, in brokenness. You see, it was here in Jonah chapter 2 where God brought him to an end of himself, and Jonah had nowhere else now to run. Jonah had nowhere to hide. He realized that he could run from God, but he could never hide from God. And as that realization dawned upon his soul, that he couldn't hide from the all-seeing, almighty God, he made this most profound and most powerful of all statements in this little book. He said, "Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah realized his own helplessness, his own sinfulness, his own wandering. He had tried to run from God, but he couldn't. I wonder tonight, is there someone in this gathering this evening, young person or older person, and you've been trying to run from God all your life? You've been trying to remove yourself from the influence of the gospel. You've been trying to deny the striving and the working of God's Holy Spirit within you, convicting you of your need to get right with God, and still you run. And yet tonight, here you are, running from God in this gospel service. God has brought you here for a purpose, and God has brought you here for a reason to realize you need to stop running from God and this night start running to God. It's time you stopped running yourself away from the influence of God and His Word and His Gospel. It's time tonight that you were saved. And it's time that tonight you come and experience for yourself God's full salvation. As we think of this full salvation this evening, I want you to notice three things about it. I want you to see the focus of this salvation, because in this great statement here that Jonah makes here in the belly of the fish, where he utters this most profound statement and these most powerful of words, salvation is of the Lord, he brings us here to the focus of the gospel. He brings us here to the focus of the whole Word of God, and it's not about a man in a fish's belly. The focus is not upon a runaway servant. The focus is rather upon the Lord. At the start of our studies in Jonah, at the start of our time in Spain, I made the point, and I believe it's worth repeating, that this book is not necessarily merely just about a great fish or a great city or a great wickedness or a great prophet, but more importantly, it's about a great God. And folks, tonight when we think about the gospel and we think of all that God has planned for we wretched, hell-deserving sinners in the gospel, it's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all what He has purposed. It's all what He has provided. It's about what He has planned. Jonah makes it clear that the Lord is the focus of salvation when he says salvation is of the Lord. You see, tonight in this society in which we live, all the focus is on the efforts that man can do and what man can merit. It's all about man's efforts and about man's endeavors. It's all about man trying to work merit and favor with God. And maybe that's you tonight. Oh, you're self-righteous, you're good living. And you're trying everything in your power that you think will merit you God's salvation, that you think will gain you acceptance with the Lord. You haven't done anybody any harm. You haven't done anything against society. You're good. You're upright. Thank God for it. But your good works are never enough to merit salvation. It is all from start to finish of the Lord. God saved sinners. God provided the plan, the way, the remedy that sinners like you and I could be saved. Because the Bible makes it clear, of course, that we're all born in sin. And it's that sin that is separating us from a holy God. It's that wretched nature within us that is keeping us from God. And no matter how much you try to clean up your life, no matter how much you try to do those things that seem right in your own eyes, it will never be enough to gain your temerity to God's salvation. We are not good enough to save ourselves from sin. Listen this evening. You may be well intentioned. And you may have the most proper of plans in your life. But listen, if you're not depending, as we'll see in a moment, on the finished work of Christ on the cross, the way of salvation, then it will never be enough for you. There are many people today in Protestant Ulster. And when it comes their time to stand before Almighty God, they will have a very rude awakening. And they will cry out, "But what I did in your name, I attended my church," and as we go round the doors week after week, the very first thing people will say to you, "I go to this church. I go to the Presbyterian church around the corner. I go to the Church of Ireland down the road. I go to the Baptist. I go wherever. It's all about your church." Listen, my friend, you go to that church, you come to this church every week of the year, and it will never be enough to save your soul. Because salvation's not in a church. Salvation's not in a creed. Salvation's not in a confession. Salvation is found alone in the Lord. As we think of the focus of this salvation and how this salvation all focuses on the Lord, we must be brought to consider the love of God. We read in John's little epistle those very tender and touching words, "God is love." Now, I know today that people will say, "I don't see too much of the love of God." Events happening, and disasters and catastrophes across our world and across our nation. And the cry goes up, "Where is the God of love?" It's funny, isn't it, how people will live without God and never think about God every other day of the year. But when things happen, it's, "Well, where's your God now?" Let me take you tonight to a place. Let me take you tonight by the eye of faith to a hillside, a place that the Scriptures describe and call a place called Calvary. And let me show you there a man on a cross. Let me show you tonight a man who never sinned. Let me show you a man who could not sin, a perfect man. Let me show you tonight that man, the God-man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And let me show you tonight his hands being nailed to that old rugged cross. And those thorns being pushed into his forehead and his very appearance marred more than that of any man. Let me remind you tonight of the spitting, the hatred, the brutality, and the mocking around the cross. Let me show you tonight that man on the middle tree at Calvary, who was made sin for us. The God-man who was cut off from the Father and counted as the worst of sinners, who stood legally condemned before a holy God, who died the just for the unjust. Why? That sinners like you and I might be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. Look at Calvary. Calvary was never in the imagination of man. Calvary is not man's way of being saved. But Calvary is God's way, God, the only way that you and I can be right with God. Let me show you tonight that love beyond compare that Christ died that you might live. Jonah, like all of humanity, turned his back on God, yet in love and grace and tenderness and mercy, God sent his Son into this world to redeem us. There was nothing lovely about us, but he commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A few weeks ago in our prayer meeting, we were looking at that great benediction of Paul, that closing prayer that he offered to the church at Corinth. And as he brought that letter to that church to a close, he prayed for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the love of God. Christ's grace giving us what we do not deserve. God's love in sending his Son, his only Son, into this world. Grace and love, they are inseparable. They are the focus of God's salvation. Because listen tonight, sinner, without the love of God, we would be lost. You could never be ready for heaven. You could never have your sins forgiven. You could never stand accepted before God if it were not for the fact that salvation tonight is all of the Lord. Stop working for salvation. Stop trying to merit salvation. Young person, older person, the only work you need is the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross. Here is love, the hymn writer said, vast as the ocean. Loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Praise God, tonight we believe and we preach in the power that there is in the blood of Christ. Many tonight will shy away from it. Many tonight will say, well, that might just offend somebody. And so we'll just talk about the love of God. You can't talk about the love of God without talking about the blood of Christ. Praise God tonight for that precious blood. Praise God tonight for that crimson tide that flows from Calvary's cross. Praise God tonight that there's cleansing in the blood of the Lamb. God's plan of salvation. God's full salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You'll never get to heaven your own way. You'll only get to heaven God's way. And God's way is the way of the cross. Let me ask you this evening before we move on. Have you been to Calvary? Have you by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ? Are your sins washed and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Because I say to you earnestly, lovingly, tenderly to your soul, if not, then you're not on your way to heaven. There's the focus of salvation. It's all on the Lord. It's not on man. But I want you to see very quickly as well that the fullness of salvation. The salvation tonight that the Lord has planned and procured there at the cross. It is full. It's abounding. It's available to you tonight. You see, it meets your need. It saves your soul. No matter your background, no matter who you are or how you've lived, salvation is full. And it's all you need because thank God for his grace, which is greater than any sin. There is grace tonight to cover your sin. There's grace to cover all of your sin. There's grace tonight to fit you for heaven. There's grace tonight to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Full grace tonight, full salvation. You see, tonight you come to Jesus Christ in salvation, give your heart and life to him. You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. You ever met someone who saved and regretted the day they were saved? No. Thank God today and all of the days in our lives, the greatest day is that day when by faith we received Jesus Christ. That day when our eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit of God to see our lost condition, and we looked away to Calvary, and there we saw in Christ our all in all. Tonight, salvation satisfies. I say to our young people this evening, we want the very best for you in your life. As leaders in this church, we want to see you doing well in the things of this world. But our greatest desire, first and foremost, is that you would come and know Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior. This old world is evil and wicked, wretched, getting worse every day. And there's so much in this world to allure and to attract. And all the glossy adverts and the attraction of this world and the pull of this world, it's very strong. And this world will say to you tonight, young person, older person, come and you will live it up and you'll enjoy life. I could bring into this pulpit tonight one whose life is wrecked and ruined by sin. If I could bring you tonight to one, and I could take you to homes not too far from this church, and their life is wrecked, ruined, devastated. And it all started because they thought sin was so appealing. They thought this world satisfied. Young people, older people, there is no lasting satisfaction in this world. The pleasures of sin, they last but for a season. And I say earnestly, and I know I have the entire backing of the session when I say this, I say earnestly to your soul, don't waste your life living for the world. Don't waste your life in the things of this old world. Rather, tonight, come and give your heart and life in to Jesus Christ. And you will be fully satisfied. Moms and dads, others in our congregation this evening, you will only know true peace and true happiness until you come the way of the cross. I mentioned last Lord's Day of seeking to minister to those two different types of people, particularly those who are facing death. And you minister to those who are facing death without Christ. And their life is ebbing away, and you seek to encourage them and seek to win them for Christ. And you realize just how empty this old life is then. But you seek to minister to a believer and one who is saved by God's grace, washed in his blood as life ebbs away. It's a totally different story. Why? Because they have by faith received Jesus Christ. They want nothing more in life and they need nothing more in death. Christ fully satisfied them. And for them, death holds no fear. I think I've said to you before about a man a few years ago in the hospital ward there in the Ulster Hospital and seeking to tell him of his need of being saved. And the hand with the weakness that there was in his body just put up the hand. Said, stop. Stop. Sinner this evening, don't be foolish. Don't think you can live your life in this world and then somehow get into God's heaven some other way. Tonight there is no friend like the friend of sinners. Tonight there is no love like the love of God. And tonight there is no peace like the peace our Savior gives. You're searching for happiness. You're searching for contentment. You're searching for something more. You'll never find it in this world. And you could go up and down every entertainment place in the Newton Arch Road every day of every week. And go from one place of worldly entertainment to another. And yet your life will never be satisfied. But tonight you come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. He gives a salvation that's full. He'll meet your need and He will meet it fully. Jonah for too long tried to run from God. And as he ran from God, he was miserable, he was unhappy. How long have you been running from God? How often have you heard your need to be saved? How often have you been awakened to your need of God's salvation? And yet you still run. It's time to stop running away from God. It's time tonight to run to Him. Christ says to you, as He said to that lady at the well, whose life was empty, and she tried this world. And He said to her, as He says to you tonight, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst again. In other words, salvation meets your need. Salvation is full. Salvation is what you need tonight. Finally, as we close, there's not only the focus of this salvation, there's not only the fullness of this salvation, but very simply and very briefly, there is the freeness of this salvation. Because praise God tonight, the gospel's not only full, but the gospel's also free. Remember, young people, what we said when we were in Spain? And Jonah had to pay a high price to go to Tarshish. He had to pay the fare. Running from God, it cost him. And running from God will always cost you. But that rescue boat that He prepared for Jonah was free. No fare to pay. It was provided by God. And praise God, tonight the gospel is available and it is free this evening. Well, that doesn't mean it's cheap, because the gospel came at such a high cost. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ His life on the cross. But tonight He offers to you salvation, that salvation that He has provided in the gospel. He offers it to you freely, without money and without price. The Lord's not interested in your silver tonight. The Lord is interested in your soul. The price for your salvation was paid in full at the cross. That's why God, time and time again, that sweetest word in the gospel, He says, come. Come. Society today will tell you to go away and try to do better. Lord Jesus Christ says, come, just as you are. Will you come to Jesus Christ tonight? Our time is gone and well gone. Will you come to Christ and experience this full salvation? Will you come tonight and experience the salvation that satisfies? Will you come tonight and experience the salvation that saves and secures your place in heaven? The knowledge of sins forgiven, pardon with God. Salvation is of the Lord. How will you respond? What will you do tonight with God's full salvation? He offers it to you freely. Will you come this evening and be saved? Young people, you need to be saved. Parents, friends, you need to be saved. God was merciful to Jonah. We haven't even looked at the chapter tonight. But God was merciful to Jonah. God has been merciful to you. Listen, don't run away from his mercy. Don't turn away his grace. But rather tonight come and by faith receive God's full salvation. Come and be saved. You can leave this meeting tonight on your way to heaven. You can leave this meeting tonight with the knowledge, pardon from sin and peace with God all through this salvation that God has provided. Therefore, tonight, what will you do? Will you come? Let's bow in prayer. And as we close our meeting this evening, I want to thank you for your attention. But tonight, for those who are in this meeting without Christ, you have a great need. And that great need is to be saved, but thank God tonight we have a great Saviour who can meet that need. A great Saviour who died on the cross, that you might experience this full salvation. And I urge you, I encourage you in Christ's name, don't run from God anymore. Don't run away from the influence of God and his word and his gospel. God has brought you here for a reason and for a purpose. Therefore, this evening, come and receive Christ as your Savior. If we can help you in any way, you want to speak to us, then please do make that known to us. This evening, start for Christ. And you will be able to exclaim, even as Jonah did there, salvation is of the Lord. Thank God tonight for his salvation. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be pleased to write thy word upon our hearts. We ask, O God, tonight that the word of God, not the words of this preacher, but Lord, tonight that thy word will have free course and be glorified. Glorified in the salvation of the lost. We pray, Lord, tonight that you'll bring many sons to glory. Heavenly Father, we pray that young and old this evening might come and by faith, leaving their sin, abandoning their old way of life, and tonight receive Jesus Christ. Give that needed grace so to do tonight, we pray. Grant those gifts of faith and repentance. Lord, tonight in this place may there be found believing souls. Write thy word, speak on, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's close with the words of hymn number 701. Hymn number 701.